is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Of 49 years, rather than the mainstream six-day creation narrative. The Ethiopian Bible uses a unique system of timekeeping. Instead of the mainstream biblical timeline, the Book of Jubilees measures history in periods of 49 years. For example, the covenant between God and Abraham was established in the 20th Jubilee, and the Exodus took place in the 50th. But it gets even crazier. The Book of Jubilees provides exact dates for key events, like the births and lifespans of significant biblical figures, all fitting perfectly within these 49-year cycles. This level of precision challenges the traditional, often vague, timelines we know, and suggests a highly sophisticated understanding of time by ancient scribes. The concept of jubilees implies that time itself is a divine cycle, with each 49-year period marking a complete renewal. This idea reflects ancient beliefs that history repeats in patterns. But there's more. The Book of Jubilees also hints that these 49-year cycles are influenced by the stars and planets, aligning with ancient astrology. This all suggests that everything in history happened and will happen in patterns of 49 years. It is like our realm might have been meticulously planned or manipulated by divine forces. Why does the Ethiopian...
And welcome. This is Guardian Radio AM, of course. This is a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. That means I am on, and today is Tuesday. That means Uncle Sarah is with me. We continue in our series where we interrogate Christianity. We interrogate our belief system because Uncle Sarah, Reverend Cleveland Enius III, is a critical theologist. That means he has a PhD in critical theology, where he, as his thesis, he had to do some interrogation of various religions and compare them. But Cleveland Enius is a reverend of a particular church. They call the Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. Their version of Christianity, I'm learning to pronounce that word, is different from my Christianity. Right? He said they have some similar threads. And I was arguing him with saying, by some of these things, he ain't too Christian for me, Reverend. I appreciate what you're saying, but some of these things are just different, and I'm comfortable with my Bible talk. But every so often, I have a Reverend Doctor, Dr. Reverend Cleveland Enius here to discuss variations of my religion, my spirituality, and to question them about books I see reference in my Bible, but I can't find no place else. Like the Book of Jubilees. I remember reading it in my Anglican church. That's a book in the Bible. But I also attended a Baptist church, and my Baptist church don't have the Book of Jubilees. So I want to know how come older Christian sects have jubilees included in their Bible, but my Pentecostal grouping doesn't. And of course, we know after the reparations, those Pentecostals separate various books, right, and say that's not a part of us. And I know that the establishment of this faith, this Roman Catholic, this Anglican grouping, have various booking that they call apocrypha, not included but apart, and they use it inside their teachings. But in this particular text, what we're talking about today is about time, number of years. That's what the clipping is about. I remember some weeks ago, Uncle, we mentioned that one day could maybe be 1,000 years to God. And I want to know if that's any biblical reference, because this Book of Jubilees is talking about sequence. that this world repeats itself again and again in different cycle. And I said, man, that's a load of crack. No, we know God coming, that is beginning, and there is an end. That is going to be a judgment, and our Lord is going to come from the sky, perhaps in a big spaceship, and he's going to take me and my family up and leave most of you all here, right? And I want to know where this Book of Jubilees come from.
Well, good morning, Bahamas. Is my mic, am I being heard?
This one, yeah, okay, beautiful. I can hear myself now. Good morning, my brother, and good morning to the listeners. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahun Anku Sarai. I'm the head priest of the Holy Coptic Church here in the Bahamas, and we are under the auspices of the Holy Coptic Church International, led by our Coptic Pope, our Basesh Haru Hotep Tar, also known as Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma. These types of questions are always timely because, you know, the Holy Coptic Church, as a true faith-based church, we aim to teach in a way that allows for those who need this information in this way to be able to look at the scriptures from the perspective of language, whereby we say look at it with African eyes. And so, Nuri, and you asked the question of whether or not this time of the Lord or the time of God, is it biblical? We can go to a couple of verses. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day."
What? What book that is?
2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8.
Read it again for me, please.
"But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day."
So you're trying to suggest that perhaps the creation of the world in 7 days, in the resting period, could be thousands of years?
Well, it would make sense that it would be thousands of years, based on the fact that in creation there are rules, there are laws, right? A baby is going to ideally take, let's say, 9 months in the womb, a mammal, right? A human is going to take 9 months in its mother's womb, you know, versus an elephant, versus a dog. There's a period of gestation, right? There's a period of time that it takes for, let's say, gold to be formed in the earth, right? But there is this mention of gold in the book of Genesis chapter 2, which means that this period of time would have had to been much longer than 7 days of 24 hours, right? For gold to have been formed in the book of Genesis chapter 2 means that the earth was around for a very long time, right? Psalms chapter 90, verse 4 also says, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, but it is past, and as a watch in the night." So there's this constant conversation about time and how time is actually ultimately manifested in Scripture. Right, so what we know in the Bereshith, which is the African book of Genesis, is that Genesis chapter 1 is not 7 24-hour days. It doesn't line up with what the Most High has put in place with regard to how stars are formed, how solar systems, how galaxies, how universes, etc., are formed. This Genesis chapter 1 is really making reference to the first of the two last epochs, this epoch of 50,000 years. All right, so the first day would not have been a 24-hour day, but instead a 7,000-year period that would have allowed for and we talked about it last week. When we went into Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 23 to 28, and it talked about the fact that mountains had moved and that there was darkness. There was heavens above the darkness. So talking about the actual dust cloud that was created by this meteorite shower that took place. All of this would not have been able to ultimately come back to its original position in 1 week. If you think about the hurricane right now moving through the Caribbean, when a hurricane hits, the country ain't back together in no 1 week.
But let me interrupt you here, Reverend.
Mm-hmm.
Man was created on the sixth day.
Mm-hmm.
If what you are saying is true, the birds and the animals was on this earth, this world, for thousands of years. If we go in just by the 1,000 years for each day, for at least 6,000 years, birds, animals, trees, what things I need to see, right, was already here, existing, thriving, multiplying before man came about.
Yes, and so what has happened is the Bible, we call them the Bible redactors, these people who have taken liberties with what we're calling scripture today, and they have tried their best to squeeze millions of years of records into a period of 6,000 years, because this 6,000 years represents a space of time that they are operating in, all right? They have what's called a documentary hypothesis. And in this documentary hypothesis, they talk about four different sources of where the Old Testament, and in particular, what they call the Torah, right? They're saying that this book called the Torah, these five books called the Law, that they come from four different sources, right? And in coming from four different sources, the J, the E, the P, and the D, right? These different sources, you can look it up, documentary hypothesis. What they have successfully done, right, is when they took the records of the indigenous people of this planet and moved them into the Greco-Roman interpretation of ultimately what we hold today as the Bible, what they were doing was to successfully alter time insofar as to make the indigenous people, as well as even their own people, believe that all of the things that we're reading about in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and even Genesis chapter 2 could be happening in 1 week, 7 24-hour days.
That's part of our faith, that God created the world in 7 days.
Yeah, I believed it too at one point. I believed it too. But again, when we begin to look at the reality of the fact that there is gold mentioned, and they didn't just talk about gold, they talk about good gold. So if you have good gold, that means that there is some bad gold, right? So good gold would be, 24-carat, right? So if you got 10-carat, then that wouldn't be considered good gold, right? Genesis chapter 2 gives us a bit of a heads up. If we go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 12, I'll just start at verse 11. All right. The name of the first is Pison, that is which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. It's talking about this land in Africa that has gold, and the gold of that land is good, which suggests that gold had been around long enough to become bad. Right? Now, gold takes a very long time to form in the earth naturally. And so if we're looking at this from the aspect of, because we can't throw away science when we read the Bible. We cannot throw away the reality of how long gold takes, or how long different species ultimately take to come into fruition, right, or to manifest. we have to look at the reality of what is taking place in the solar system, in the galaxy, in the universe, while we're reading the Bible, right? Because other than that, we're just reading a fairy tale. So this idea that the Earth is 6,000 years old, it totally goes against records that, let's say, they've found the bones of who they call Lucy. And they are saying Lucy, the bones of Lucy, are millions of years old, right? They're finding bones that are much older than 6,000 years old that represent the origins of what we're calling humanity, right? So at what point do we have the spiritual maturity to actually begin to question the way that we are this morning, this aspect of time, this aspect of how things actually came into being with regard to this planet and also the galaxy and the universe. If we understand, because they have the, what's the telescope that went out now, that they have all this information coming back now, escaping my mind right now.
Go ahead.
Right, but this telescope is showing us the origins of the universe. They're looking at billions of years, right? They're looking at billions of years as to the origin of what they're calling the origins of the universe. But here we are looking at a book and saying, oh well, you know, we've been here for 6,000 years. Our own records don't show that we've only been here for 6,000 years.
I see you calling. I'm going to come to you right now, but I'm going to put this question to Uncle. Two questions, actually. First, on the seventh day, the Bible said our God rested. What does that mean? Did he relax? Did he pause? Did he stop doing creation? And the reason I'm going to ask you that, because now I have accepted that. One day, it could be 1,000 or more days.
But it says it, right? In the Bible, yeah.
But if he rested on the seventh day, that's 1,000 years our God didn't deal with us? Is that what it's saying?
No, it's not. It's not saying rest as in...
But what did he do on the seventh day?
So the sixth day, let's go back to the sixth day. The sixth day, there was this, they say this Adam that was created. Remember, Adam is not a man, but a tribe. Male and female created he them and called their name Adam.
Yeah, Adam and Eve, I hear you. Adam and Eve, go
right.
ahead.
But the purpose of this Adam and Eve was to be a successor in the earth after those who were the creators had desisted. The word rest is there in English. But when you go to the language, you'll see the word desist, which means that they stopped. They stopped what they were doing because ultimately what was taking place was that they had created the environment or the conditions that allowed for what's called an ecology to be formed. So now we're going to leave those who are in our image and after our likeness to maintain this ecology. That is what our responsibility was and is on the earth, to maintain what had been set in place. Because these guardian angelic hosts who were responsible for us, they ultimately stepped back and they said, now you have earthly, because remember we talked about these are the generations of the heavens and these are the generations of the earth. There were those guardians who were responsible for this new Adam or Adama who would be guiding them on how to ultimately procure or take care or be successors here on this planet. So it's not that we've never been left without guidance. We've never been left alone. But the actual replenishment, there was a cease or desisting of that replenishment that had officially been replenished.
I'm going to bait you shortly, but I won't go to the caller because I promised the caller coming to them.
Because
I'm going to use that same rest period and I'm going to talk about whether the Creator left this earth, left us alone, and things happened, and then he plans to return. But let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Sorry about the wait.
Mr. Caesar.
Go ahead.
How is it going?
I'm doing well, man. Blessings to you.
All right. I was listening to the call of the Reverend from Apple, the Pollock Church or whatever.
Coptic
it's
Church.
It's the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah.
Oh, holy.
Yes.
Oh. All right. What I want to say, right, is this. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God from the beginning. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. Men didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They crucified the Word. He resurrected, and now is gathering his saints from this earth, which is about to be consumed. Now, what I'm going to say is this. If indeed God didn't create Adam and Eve, where was Satan in heaven when he fell from heaven? When did he hit earth? Was it before he created Adam and Eve, or was it after? According to the Bible, Satan is an angel. That's a spiritual being. He hit the earth, which is a physical place where Adam and Eve was. The Bible says he put them in the middle of the garden where the tree was. That's where that spirit lied. Which of the creation deceived man that God created? The serpent, he was most cunning of all. Even the lion, he was even smarter than the lion. But the lion was here. But he caused the deception, so everybody got cursed. Now here is it. Only difference between us and the animals, we are like God. We eternal beings. But our flesh is dead. But our spirit will live forever. Where you want to go, catch me up there. Like, go on, come back.
I appreciate that, caller. That's a lot of to get yeah, so, go ahead.
So the who you calling Satan, he would have existed in the cycle before this Adam and Eve were created. So when you read...
And pause it, because Adam and Eve was created on the sixth day.
In the sixth day.
And then the heavens and earth was created on the first day. So thousands of years had passed.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the heavens were already populated and those was there. Mm-hmm. So thousands of years later. Go ahead.
So when you enter Genesis chapter 1, right, you're really entering at a point where, again, a meteorite shower was taking place. This is what is referred to as the fall of Leviathan, right? This is taking place 17,250,000 years ago based on the meteorite showers that hit this planet. You had two major ones, right? That was the first of two major meteorite showers that hit this planet, the first being 17,250,000 years ago. This serpent, or this devil, as we refer to it as, would have been in place before this particular Adama group. Because let's be clear, there have been many different Adama groups on this planet. All right? And this is where, when you start to talk about time, things get a bit confusing because you're trying to fit stories that have happened over millions of years, right? Because we just talked about gold. Gold takes millions to billions of years to be formed in the earth, all right? This is why it's so valuable, one of the reasons why it's so valuable, right? This serpent coming out of the heavens, he was before this Adam and Eve. He isn't introduced to us in the Bible as we're holding it until Genesis chapter 3. They talk about this serpent who was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field. But this serpent already existed, all right? This is why they were being placed in a garden to begin with, because there were already fallen angels on the planet. They already had created a city of Nod or Nud. This word Nud or Nod was named after one called Enki or Nudimud. They called the city Nod or Nud or Nudist camp after this Nudimud, this Enki, which is going back to the Sumerian story of the Anunnaki, etc. Right? And so when you begin to put the realities of Sumeria and the realities of ancient Africa together, that's when you begin to see the fullness of what the Bible ultimately was supposed to be giving us a message of or a record of on this planet.
I see I have a caller here, and I promise to come back to the caller.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the Greek, and even inside some African and some Norwegian mythology, they talk about gods. Some people liken them to the Watchers, right? So I'm saying, Surely during that seventh day, the Creator left and leave these people here, with these entities here, and then they say they is gods and getting worship. But let's go to the caller first.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Caller, David Star, your voice along with you and brother Uncle and Yuri.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
We need justice, law, and order in this country of the Bahamas. Especially Nassau. Brother Uncle.
Yes, I'll allow you.
Namastu.
Namastu.
I'm holding, thank God. I wish you could help me with the situation, your love, biological science. Here it is, right? The human bone, right? Doesn't really rotten, so to speak, right? You drop a piece of bone, in a bone period, in a well or something like that, you'll never see it rotten. But when it comes to the teeth, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is immaterial how you take care of it. Immaterial of what kind of money you put on it to the dentist every 6 months. You still would have a problem with your teeth, like cavity and stuff like that. Basically, cavity. Why? Why is that? And the human bone not supposed to rotten? And that's the
well, will you expose?
I actually can hear you.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Okay. Just quickly, the teeth, we expose our teeth to a lot of acids and different things that ultimately, if we're not brushing our teeth the way we're supposed to, ideally at least twice a day, when you wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, and then before you go to bed, ideally, some people even do it more than that. But if you are eating foods that have these different acids and you're leaving them on your teeth, then that's going to...
But Uncle,
mm.
I'm not disputing your point, but I want to share your point. You get more acid from fruits like oranges, lemon, sour lime.
But you have different types of acids. So okay. if you have
what sort of acid you would say destroys people's teeth?
If you're eating foods with a lot of white sugar, right?
Oh, okay.
And the residue of those foods create the acids that we're talking about.
Got you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for bringing
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So what I was saying earlier is these groupings have this mythology that gods existed.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know, how does that fit into the Bible? Did they really exist, or these men just dream up? Because, absent of correct information, we just make up stories.
Well, that's exactly what the Greco-Romans did. But
they have an African pantheon. Did the Africans also make up stories?
Well, we had a template. We understood when we were making the children's, let's say, the tribal tales, right? We understood that those tribal tales had an actual reality behind them. But we would teach the children these tribal tales so that as they grew, they could then, those tales could be referenced once we were able to tell them, okay, now this is what we were actually talking about. Because the mind of a child works differently than the mind of an adult, ideally, right? So we had that dichotomy of a tale that had at its root or at its core a reality that we then would teach the children so that they understood this particular tale is not to be taken literally. However, here is where it was coming from, right?
Both the Romans and the Greeks talk about like centaurs and talk about half man, half beast.
Right.
Are you saying that they never existed either?
No, they did exist.
Who created them?
They came from other worlds. When you talk about these fallen angels, right? When you talk about celestial beings coming to this earth, some of them, and you see this more in the Vedas, where they talk about beings that were either hermaphrodite or that had more arms than we do, or that had a half human, half a horse body, etc. Those things you would have more access to when you're reading the Hindu Vedas. They talk about coming from when they talk about Nirvana, and they say that their heaven is Nirvana. It's talking about a star constellation that these beings were coming from and coming to this planet. some of them were what we would consider demons, and then you had some of them who were protecting us from who they would consider demons, right? This is what's in the actual records. So when they found the bones of thousands of centaurs in Thessaly, right? You can Google it.
Because I remember reading them, but no bones. But go ahead.
Yeah. But these things have been found. They have found actual skeletons of these particular beings. And they play into the stories that become the mythologies of these societies, right? What we have to be aware of is that when the Greeks and the Romans, when they're creating what we ultimately call the Septuagint, and then ultimately the Latin Vulgate, they're going back to Norse mythology. They're going back to Prose Edda, right? They're going back to the Odyssey. They're going back to Jason and the Argonauts. They're going back to their fairy tales. Fairy tales, when you talk about the Grimm or the Brothers Grimm, when they were putting these fairy tales together, they weren't originally for children. These were horror stories. But these were stories that allowed for them to create a national identity. They were trying to create a narrative for a nation whereby having a national identity would bring them together. It's the same thing you see happening right now around the planet. You see different groups coming together and identifying off of nationality. They just had an alt-right group march through Tennessee in the United States just yesterday, right? These people have a narrative whereby they're going back to their understanding of where things began for them. They talk about Germanic writings that are 100, 200,000 years old that have influenced the Bible as we know it today. But that doesn't mean that the Africans, we already had the pyramid texts. We already had the Per Emhu, or what they call the Book of the Dead or the Book of the Coming Forth by Day. We had our records, but they were using a template of our records in order to control the minds of the people whose resources they wanted on the planet. The first thing they did when they came into our lands was they killed the priests. They killed the people who had the actual narrative. And they gave their own narrative. And that is what caused the confusion whereby in Revelation chapter 8 it says there was silence in the heavens for the space of half an hour, because we're the only people in the universe that the elders have ever seen worshiping the people who enslaved them. It went silent. We're a part of that silence right now, whereby the records have to be put together and interrogated so that we can once again have our realities renewed or restored again.
Let's go to the callers again. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, go ahead once. Let me press the button. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? No? Gonna hang up that line. You can call us back again at 323-622-325-4316-325-4259. Or see the caller coming back again. Let me see if I can press this. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? I'm not getting through. Can you hear me now, caller? Yeah, producer. I ain't getting phone calls, but I see him calling in. Okay, in the meantime, let's continue.
So I want to share something based on the question you had earlier about whether we were left by God on the planet. In the original books of the Bible, there's a book called the Book of the Separation of the Firmaments, Book 11, right? Begin all things by way of the name of the Most Heavenly One, and Nader, who's the Creator, the Generous One, right? It talks about, it says, verse 3, great is thy mercy towards humanity, of the Most Heavenly One, and Nader. Thus, the replenishment of Tar Earth was carried out under the command and rulership of the guardian foreparent, Ra's great-grandson, the angelic host Asaru, who the Greeks call Osiris, who was the one selected, along with his genetic seed, to govern Tar Earth after the great crystal city Ra's Manjet left this, your solar system, to return to the heavenly realm of provisions. the guardian angelic four-parent Ray, being the selected one from amongst the council of Iyigi, did rule all from Yilyun, the highest of heavens. Thereby was perceived as being the manifestation of the true light of the celestial heavens of Tar Earth. Now, that's important because he's leaving this seed of Asaru that ultimately gives way to the three groups of 12 royal tribes. But this is what he left in verse 14. It says, may the skies above be opened unto all who read these words. This self-regulating law called the nature of nature is a part of the universal system of Ma'at, which is divine universal law of balancement and natural order, such that it is an exact and unwavering principle which requires no constant observation, limited correcting, and no readjusting, while the pre-programmed formulas called eternities are maintained. There was a law left in place, and there was a seed put in place to keep us in alignment with that law, which is why the Messiah didn't come to abolish the law. He came to complete it.
Your religion sounds very sci-fi-ish. Let's go to the callers.
Like the Most High.
Yeah.
Omniscient.
Go ahead, caller. Can you have me? Caller, go once. No? Go to the next one there. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. How you doing, sir?
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Good morning, Don Koo.
Good morning, brother.
Yeah, brother. Everything all right, brother?
Yeah, man. How you doing?
All right. I agree with you when you were saying something about undoing certain things, teachings and different things that we have come to know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I mean, and I think I heard you talking about change in time and stuff. But I mean, one significant thing we need to talk about as it relates to time changing is Pope Gregory. And the calendar going from 13 months to 12 months.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I feel as if that is something that you or anyone who is knowledgeable of that who wants to, like, go back to original teaching should promote, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean? Because you can mm-hmm. show why that should be the way it is, you know what I mean, because of the 28th cycle and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I feel as if that's one thing we could do. And like when you were talking about the 6,000-year period, I mean, I think people would better appreciate it because they hear a lot about 2,000 years. You know what I mean? I feel as if they would better appreciate it if they could understand ages. You know what I mean? Because, like, you know, an age is like a little over 2,000 years. And I feel as if the public should understand ages. Because here we come again, even at the beginning of CA show, when he was talking about with the Ethiopian stuff, they was talking about how the stars and the stuff like that influence will be dealing with, you know, that kind of way. And the 2,000 years is based on stars and how the ages come and go. And mm-hmm. like I said before, I feel as if these are the things we need to be teaching people so they can better understand exactly what is what.
Okay.
You know, the kind of way. And because what I hear a lot is, I hear a lot of speculative talk. You know, that kind of way. Like when I hear people talk about creation and how it came to be, et cetera, I mean, I don't really focus in too much because I feel as if that's something that no one will ever be able to really truly explain with any kind of proof, right? So I don't feel as if we were made to understand how the earth came to be, but we need to understand how to be while we are here. You understand where I come from? We need to learn and we need to know how it is that we, what is expected of us while we are here and not how this place came to be, because we'll never understand that, because I believe, honestly and truthfully, even to understand that, the level of understanding that we are possessed with right now as human beings, we'll probably never be able to understand it, because we could never understand a concept of no beginning and no end, if you understand where I'm coming from. But when it comes to black people, I believe black people need to understand that we are the salt of the earth, you know, that kind of way. And in the past time, I interpret that as salt is something that is used to preserve. So we as black people are the preservers of this place. That's why Africa have all the riches and all the most precious resources, because they were entrusted to us, right? And if we don't stand up and if we don't get it together, those other people, them, they're going to destroy this place. You know, the kind of way we need to get up and we need to understand that we have been designated as the people to preserve this place. And lastly, you mentioned media. I think you mentioned something about media, right, Anku?
Mm-hmm. You know, media showers.
When I was younger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I used to watch movies with asteroids and different comets and different things. They used to frighten me as a child.
Right.
You know, I mean, honestly and truthfully, they used to frighten me as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized, like, I mean, this, you know, this kind of go back to what we're talking about, right? But if we knew that there was a doom above us and there is no space, right?
Doom.
Then we wouldn't be afraid of any asteroids. We wouldn't be afraid of any meteors. It would take away a fear that exists right now that we
don't need to be having, asteroids hit,
right?
The earth.
But, But
in our time, they had one hit in Russia.
I can finish up with this right there. But
please,
that,
make
right,
it quick because I want to respond.
Yeah. But on top of that, right? If there are no asteroids, if there is no space, right? Then what destroyed the dinosaurs? Then that means the dinosaurs ain't really there, eh?
Okay.
Well, the problem I have with that last part of the conversation is you could go right now, YouTube, and they had a actual meteorite hit a town in Russia, right? Not to mention that you have evidence of the Grand Canyon and other things where you have meteoric impact on the planet, right? So I'm not going to go too far into that, but I guess we're going for a break. I want to just talk about this, where this time came from. Right.
Okay, we'll talk about where the time came from. But I know I have someone on the phone line, so I'll tell the caller hold for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a quick break, and I'm coming directly to you, caller. And then we'll have Uncle explain where time came. But time exists. I believe that time is in creation, and the Creator is outside of time. So when He created things, time came about. Right?
Yeah.
I still believe that Hercules is real, though.
Well, there's a reality to Hercules.
Yeah, and I believe that Jason and the astronauts people were real.
Mm.
And I believe that there were some kind of gods them, watches them, who's watching their interacting with human beings and cause all kind of mischief until while the Creator was away. Right? Anyway, let's take a short break here, and we'll be right back with Uncle Sarah, Reverend Clement Enius III from the Holy Crypt Church of the Black Messiah. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. As we take our last 15 minutes, we're going straight to the caller there, and then we're going to continue with Uncle Sarak, the Reverend Cleveland Enius III. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call again once. It took too long. Hey, call again twice. Caller can always call me back and continue.
When we talk about time, right? This time that we understood in the Nilotic calendar, right? When we view time, we look at two constellations in particular. One called Sibtu or Sept, or what they call Cyrus, and the other called Orion. And there are different reasons why, right? We don't have time for that today. But this Tahuti, or what they call the angel Michael in the biblical context.
Well, let me pause there. How are you able to apply like a different religious concept to a biblical concept? Like, why is this? What name you got? Haptutu?
Tahuti.
Tahuti? Mm-hmm. How do you know that's Michael?
Well, the principle of what Tahuti stands for in the African theology and the principle of, because Michael is an archangel, you understand? So is Tahuti, right? So what we understood that the Greco-Romans did was to look at the records that they did get their hands on. They didn't get their hands on all of them, but they got their hands on certain aspects of the records whereby they knew that they were encountering people who already had a theology. So I need to make sure that when I approach these people, they know that they have, I'm not trying to take away religion or rituals or rites away from them. This is their war machine. Their war machine understood that we need ritual, that we need our DNA, our RNA, our chromosomes require ritual. This is why even if we say we're not in the church, we still ritually will go to fish fry on a Friday and have a drink. We'll still ritually do things that we feel make us a part of a particular organization or a gang or whatever have you. We require ritual. So they created a version of our original texts, but in a way that would allow for them to insert their narrative and keep us away from the reality of what our original text ultimately said. So we're not going to hear Tahuti mentioned in their versions of scripture, but they would put Michael. Now, Michael is not Tahuti. I'm not saying they're the same person. I'm saying the seat or the principle of what Michael is in their scriptures is close to what Tahuti is in the African theology.
Interesting. I'm going to squeeze this caller
in.
Go ahead. I'm just seeing that perhaps there's some kind of inferiority complex where you keep on trying to attach your religion to my God.
The inferiority complex comes from the Greco-Romans.
Okay.
Because they had to create something and that was to offset something that was already
so
here.
So you keep on telling me. But let's go to the caller.
Well, which one is Ola?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I can let you respond to that. Go ahead, caller. See, I yakin up.
Good morning, Mr. Newley. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, man. Go ahead.
All right, good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
Yes, we don't have much time, but I want to make something clear according to the scripture. You're talking about one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. But to be honest with you, I don't think there is such thing in the scripture. Yes, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, Peter did mention one day unto the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Peter was do a comparison between the long patience of God to deal with mankind, but he never meant that one day can be 1,000 years. So he, and when you go further in verse 9, he let the people know, according to long suffering of God to deal with the mankind. So he used that statement to show you he is God long suffering. And then there is one more thing I want to make clear concerning a caller that called earlier about where Satan was before Adam. All right, when you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and then you find full stop. So that means in the dateless past, way before Adam and Eve, God created heaven and the angelic being first, and then he created the earth. And then Lucifer was the angel, the cherubim, who was the king of the earth, who placed on the earth to rule the earth. There was nation on the earth who called pre-Adamite that God created. Lucifer was the king. And then when you find verse 2 now, in Genesis chapter 1, it said, and the earth, you hear the statement, and the earth was without form and void. So there is a disobedience from Lucifer, and then God destroyed the earth with a flood. You find verse 2, it's a flood where water was upon the earth, because water have to have a surface to stay on so it can be stay on. And then now, in the dateless past, no one know when God not take the time to restore the earth. And he restored the earth. But Lucifer was the first ruler of the earth. And then now God restored the earth. He spoke the word, because in the beginning, he created everything by hand. If you check Psalms chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, it said, O Lord, how excellent is your name, you know, you create the heaven on it with your finger. So now, and then when God created everything, and then now he created Adam and Eve. And verse 28, in that same chapter 1, he told Adam, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. That meant the first person, Adam, pre-Adamite, who was on the earth the first time, he told Adam, the second Adam now, he told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth.
Okay.
So because, all right? And then when you go in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14, all right, it's talking about Lucifer, who was, his kingdom was on the earth. He have his throne that he want now to go in heaven to create war. because he wanted to go above the cloud, above the stars. So he had to be underneath the stars. He had to be underneath the cloud so he could go above the cloud and above the stars. So Lucifer was already a fallen angel before Adam and Eve create. That's why now he used serpent. Serpent was a normal serpent with legs, could be able to walk, and he used serpent to deceive Eve because he could never use a strange person because Eve was never going to receive that strange person because God did not create another strange person to put with Eve. He used serpent to deceive Eve. You understand where I'm coming from?
And caller, I wish you had called earlier so we can have this debate. And we call again maybe next week so we can go back and forth. But I see there's similar themes.
Right.
I'm seeing a number of religions now have similar themes, similar to the Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, but have parallel themes at the same time.
Right. Now, what the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah aims to do is to not say to people that we're the only people on the planet that has this information. In fact, we are pointing you to go and do the research. Go and research the Chewbacca Stone. Go and look at the realities of what Genesis originally was as the Bereshith, what Exodus really was as the book of Shemot, right, et cetera, et cetera. When we're talking about this reality, because the caller started in by saying that they don't think that that's what Peter meant, but that's not the only place in the Bible where it's mentioned, right? We also mentioned the book of Psalms, which is before Peter, right? And so what we ultimately want to say as we close out the show is that time, ultimately, when you spell this word time backwards, is the word emit, all right? And it's talking about the reality of the fact that when you're on this planet, time is, your reference point has to be from this planet, but the creators didn't come from this planet. Their time would be different.
Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with T.A. Nuri. We got to talk about this again. I hope that caller called back.
Yeah, next week maybe.
Have a wonderful day.